Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance and also our friends at Navy Federal Credit Union, where they have a mission to put members first by making their financial goals the priority. Learn more at NavyFederal.org and join today. Jeff Passan, ESPN MLB Insider, will join us in less than 5 minutes, so make sure you stick around for that. We'll chat with him. Don't forget, Mason and Ireland are going to join me at 11:15. And we didn't have Peter King because we had the wrong number. We're dopes. Both Greg and I had the same numbers for a home and for his cell, and apparently he has changed his number since the last time we've had him on. Or at least he's changed it, since the last time I had him on. So there you go. And I guess you too, Greg, right? Since the last time you've had him on. So,
yeah.
So we're trying to see if we can get him on at 11:40. If not, we'll reschedule for this week. Did you tell him how super apologetic we are for us being dopes?
Yes. I sent him both numbers that we had. I said, I'm so sorry. We had the wrong number. Hopefully we can do another time. So. We'll see.
Okay, cool. So just let me know. We'll keep you posted on that. Don't forget, we also will give you a chance to win a copy of MLB The Show sometime in the 11 o'clock segment and sometime around 11:30 as well. So make sure you tune in for that. We're trying to hook people up because Mason and Ireland, the reason they're coming on, much like we did last month with our Laker draft, we're going to do our all-time Dodger draft. We're going to create three teams, and then we're going to plug the three teams into a simulation in MLB The Show. So the folks at MLB The Show were cool enough to give us some copies to give away. So we're doing that for you. Because we love you. That's how it works. All right. So one of the next copies is going to be given away in the next, 15 minutes or so. So don't go anywhere. Stay tuned for that. And Passan will join us here in a second. Danny Green. I got to get to Danny Green. Laura, do you have the Danny Green audio available? Okay. So Greg, how would you best describe Danny Green? So Danny Green is doing a commercial for like a manscaping thing. Is that what he's doing?
Yes, he is doing a commercial for how to take care of yourself.
He's doing a public service announcement.
He is doing a public service announcement. I'm with you. Because manscaping in that region is important. Now, he is specifically talking about the testicle area, okay? And I could say that because that is a medical term. So we had to bleep out the word he used, which is like basketballs. Because he didn't use basketballs. He just used the other word that we probably could get away with, but I don't know if we really want to get away with. But anyway, so we cut up about a minute of his commercial, I guess, on Instagram and social media for this manscaping tool. And he's talking about the differences between the basketballs, per se, and how to help the men with the ladies. And here's Danny Green of your Los Angeles Lakers.
Fellas, if you lived as long as I have, you know that there's two very important things that you must take care of. And both of those are your For one, they should not look like this. Fuzzy, hairy, just plain dirty. Don't even want to touch them. I'm sure the ladies prefer that they look like this. Smooth, silky, like a baby's bottom. Be sure enough, you show up to the bedroom with the dirty, fuzzy, hairy, they will end up looking like this before you go home. This shade of blue is not what you want. It's not cool, and it doesn't feel right. If you want to get rid of the dirty, fuzzy, hairy, and not get that shade of blue, be sure to get the Lawnmower 3.0 by Manscaped. Your will thank you.
Now, the props he was using for the fuzzy ones were tennis balls. For the smooth ones, were they ping pong balls? I couldn't tell.
They were bigger.
They looked bigger. They looked like, I don't know. They were very smooth, though. And the third one where he mentioned the blue ones, he was using the prop, they were racquetball balls. So that's what he was using as props. I mean, it's very creative. And honestly, I'm in favor of it. Look, people have heard me here. I remember when LZ used to do a commercial for a manscaping product. I was all in favor of that. I said, listen, LZ is doing a public service for you men out there and for the ladies out there. Laura, do we have any of the LZ cuts? I know I used to have them on my soundboard, but since I'm not there, you have it. Do you have, can you play a couple back to back?
I can find them for you.
Okay. Yeah, if you can find them for you. But what do you think while you're finding them of Danny Green's public service?
I mean, he's not wrong. The ladies thank him, and he's gorgeous. Saying that, I was like, I'm with it. I'm okay with it.
Okay, there you go. I'm with you, too. Yeah, yeah. And you know what? Danny Green's just saying the same thing LZ was saying. It's pretty simple. So, anyway, good job, Danny Green. Public service announcement there.
My favorite part of that was when he goes, "This that certain shade of blue that you don't want."
Yeah, with the racquetballs. Yes.
Right.
Yes. So, Laura, let me know when Jeff is there, and we can talk baseball with him. Although, I'd love to play the Danny Green thing for him, because I feel like Passan will have a fantastic opinion on stuff like that. I'd also like to know who in Major League Baseball would be most likely to endorse a product like that. I feel like that would be the move to ask Passan, because Passan knows all these players. So we'll get to Jeff Passan and the details on what's going on in Major League Baseball here in just a second. Passan, before we get to Major League Baseball, you know me, I always like to go off the board here. So we just played a Danny Green endorsement. Danny Green of the Los Angeles Lakers is doing an endorsement for a manscaping tool, okay? And
doing an endorsement for what?
A manscaping tool.
Oh, God, okay.
And in this endorsement, he is he's using props. So the first prop he uses for, quote, fuzzy tennis balls is a tennis ball. Then he uses some other smooth-looking ball. I think it was a ping pong ball. And then uses a racket ball to punctuate his point and drive it all home. I want you to hear this endorsement. He's done it. It's rolling all over social media right now on Instagram and on Twitter. It's one of those promoted things right now. It's pretty hilarious. Play it for Passan.
Fellas, if you lived as long as I have, you know there's two very important things that you must take care of. And both of those are your for one, it should not look like this. Fuzzy, hairy, just plain dirty. Don't even want to touch them. I'm sure the ladies prefer that they look like this. Smooth, silky, like a baby's bottom. Be sure enough, you show up to the bedroom with the dirty, fuzzy, hairy, they will end up looking like this before you go home. This shade of blue is not what you want. It's not cool, and it doesn't feel right. If you want to get rid of the dirty, fuzzy, hairy, and not get that shade of blue, be sure to get the Lawnmower 3.0 by Manscaped. Your will thank you.
All right, so I want two things for you. One, how would you rate his delivery as a pitch man from 1 to 10, 10 being the best, 1 being the worst? And two, who in Major League Baseball, as far as players are concerned, would be most likely to take that chance on an endorsement like that?
Oh, my God. How are you making me answer the second one live on radio? The first one, I give him a 12. Anybody who would actually take that commercial has my respect. And I don't care if they say it in the most monotonous, like, awful, terrible pitchman voice possible. The guy is talking about shaving the nether regions. And you know what? Good for him. My question was this. Danny Green is a Laker now, right?
Yeah.
Do you think he got one for LeBron?
You know what? Maybe. You know how teammates, whenever they get endorsements, they just, you know, they give them out to the other teammates,
they
you know?
They go hand them out in the locker room. Like,
yeah.
Do you think that this was like, do you think, okay, better question. Did quarantine prevent LeBron from having smooth ones?
You know what? And Danny Green is just trying to take care of all his teammates that way. Maybe. You know what I mean? Quarantine
Good
is looking is a
out, Danny Green. Good
there you go.
Out, Danny Green.
This is why Danny Green is the glue guy on that roster, Passan.
You know what? That is such a great point. That is such a great point. That's such a glue guy endorsement to get. Okay, so you're leading me down the right path here.
Yeah.
You have to give me a little bit of time.
No worries. No worries.
I don't spend enough time looking at Danny Green's facial hair. So does Danny Green have facial hair, or is he
got a little?
There
he's got a thin goatee.
Yeah, but a Thingo tea takes, like, it takes manicuring and
yeah.
it takes time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. You know, I'm just thinking of, like, glue guys. Danny Green's a pretty likable guy, right?
Yeah.
Could I go with Justin Turner, or does he just have too much hair on his entire body to be the Manscaped
3000? I think personality-wise, you're with the right guy. I do think, yeah. though, he also looks like a wildebeest. So there is that.
I mean, but part of the pitch is that he comes out clean-shaven.
Right. That is fair. And just because
like,
it's...
I feel like if the commercial is Justin Turner just standing there with a clean-shaven face, and he looks at it, it looks at the camera and says, if it worked like this up here, just imagine what it would do down there.
Yes, it would be effective. I would give you that. That would be the most effective endorsement in Major League Baseball. Yes,
all right.
Yes.
Nailed it. I'm glad that we're doing on-air ad agencying right now.
Nailed it.
Like the time that we tried to teach my kid to roll his R's on the air, and he ended up running away crying. It was great.
Yeah, yeah. You and I, not fathers of the year there, clearly, but it's okay. You know what? It'll toughen the kid up. He'll be better. All right, let's talk baseball here. I started the show by saying that I think anyone in any walk of life that has to lead a group, right? You know, a boss, et cetera, or someone who is in charge of just leading a group needs to be able to read the room. I feel like Tony Clark's comments were not that, like not being able to read the room with 30 million people unemployed, like arguing over money is not the right way, is not the right tack to take, at least not publicly. Where are you on that?
Okay. So let me, I'm not even going to counter you a little, but I'm curious why Tony Clark is the one that you're focusing on instead of the owners.
No. The owners too, because they leaked it. And I actually said that I'm being a little hypocritical because I wouldn't be talking about this if they didn't leak it. However,
yeah, I was going to say we want to bite the media gods that feed us, right?
Right. But here's the thing, Passan. It's no different. You were talking about kids earlier, right? Your kid learning Spanish. When two kids get into a fight, who's the one that generally gets seen by the teacher? The kid who hits second, right? So if you're Tony Clark, those rules apply throughout life. The person who fights back generally gets caught.
I've never found those rules particularly fair.
No, I agree.
And to me, I don't know that MLB threw the first punch here necessarily. I mean, here's the thing. I'm not going to sit here and say Major League Baseball, like, tried to set a trap trying to get Tony Clark to talk. But when you talk revenue split, whatever your intentions are, however noble they may actually be, the second you start talking to the Major League Baseball Players Association about revenue split, you know that you're going to draw their ire. And I think that the desire, you know, secondary, tertiary, was to see how disciplined Tony Clark was going to be with this. Mm-hmm. And boy, he let it eat, man. Like, he really had it. And the funny part to me is saying a revenue split is a salary cap. You know, revenue split's not a salary cap. What a revenue split is it's like the little cousin who's really annoying and who always comes around and just bothers you. And that's mm-hmm. what a revenue split is. It gets brought up all the time, and the PA says no, and then they go back to their merry ways. And even though a 50-50 revenue split could have theoretically been a little more lucrative financially, it just is not going to happen. So they'll move on to more important things, and hopefully, publicly at least, away from the money that's just getting people mad and honestly, understandably so.
Yeah, look, if I were Tony Clark, the tact I would have taken was similar to what you had in your story with Sean Doolittle, right? And I saw what Sean tweeted too, which is basically talk about safety, right? Like, that is the most important thing. We'll get to this, we'll review it, and kind of move forward. Now, okay, so
let me tell you, the conversation today, I think, is going to be about safety.
Okay, good.
I think it's going to be mostly safety today. And this is what happens with Major League Baseball and the Players Association. Every time, it is just like clockwork the way they do this. Whatever they're negotiating about, information leaks out a little. The sides both wind up looking bad. Eventually, they remind each other, shut up. This doesn't work when the media is involved. And they work toward a deal. And usually they get one done.
Fair enough. So this is like, what, first or second inning of this negotiation?
I think we're probably like second now, yeah. Not just because the first deed was done, but because there's going to be some pretty, you know, the players are expecting some pretty substantive talks. The league is expecting some pretty substantive talks. Like, things have a chance to get moving a little bit. And once you get to the substantive areas, people can calm down a little bit and get more comfortable. And then you have a better place to hash out the areas that made people mad.
Yeah. You know, you always reassure me. This is why I like bringing you on. Jeff Passan, ESPN MLB Insider, the best.
Van Pelt said the same thing yesterday, right? Right when I was at the end of the segment, you know, he was getting ready to talk to Woj. And he's like, you know, this really depressed me. And I had to go rescue him, man. I did. And I'm not trying to, like, I feel like my role in these times is to not be the cheerleader who
right.
says, rah, rah, yay, yay, let's go get some baseball today.
Yeah.
And it's not to be like the doomsday guy walking in with a Manscaper 3000 who's going to go shavey clean. It is the guy who is going to try and, like, keep it real for you, but
but
look, balance is important right now, man. Like, balance in all of our lives,
yep.
I think is legitimately the most vital thing that we can get. And I happen to like there are days where you're feeling extremely imbalanced. I had one of those days last night because I was up writing this story literally all night, and then my phone rings right now, and I pick up. And I'm like, who's this calling me here? And of course it's you. And I had just woken up from like a 3-hour nap. That was my balance right here. And if I sound like I've been sleeping, it's because I have been.
Let me tell you, you're nailing it, even though you're only on 3 hours of sleep. I mean, you literally did a product endorsement for Manscaping for Danny Green and Justin Turner. Like, that's impressive stuff. Now, if you really want to impress the audience, you should do for me what you do for Van Pelt, which is recite Cash Rules Everything Around Me.
I'm not going to do that. I've learned that brand infringement is a sin in this business. It's like when people ask me to do Elmo, like that's a Levitard thing. I feel like Van Pelt has put his stamp down, or put his, it's like he's claimed Wu-Tang for himself, and I can't do that anymore.
It's all Van Pelt. Fine. I'm finding something else. I mean, we clearly have plenty other things with you, but I wanted something.
Yeah, I contain multitudes, my friend.
That's true. That is true.
Of other things.
That is true. You and I don't have one thing. We have many things, which is actually better now that I think about it. So you know what? The hell with it. You can keep Wu-Tang, Van Pelt.
You do have like the white boy coming to you for help instead.
There's that, yes. And we may have ruined your child's childhood. There's also that. But anyway, all right, last thing before we go. All right, there's a number of other things on the table here, like expanding the playoffs or whatever, expanding rosters, and the DH for both leagues. Of all the things that are in there in your story, and you can read the story on ESPN.com and the ESPN app, Jeff does a phenomenal job, as always, laying out all the details. What of any, if any of these things, do you believe could move forward beyond just this season?
Oh, I think the playoffs are going to be here to stay. I think once you expand playoffs and taste that sweet, sweet television money, you are not giving it back. So I would anticipate that MLB going forward is going to be a 14-team playoff league. And I don't know what format that those 14 are going to take. Maybe we get to a point where they just even it out and go full on 16. But at that point, man, they're already diluting it quite a bit going to 14. And this is the right season to do it, you know? This is, if somebody likes to tell me this season we're playing on Jupiter. And if we're playing on Jupiter, we might as well go a little crazy. And once you go a little bit crazy, when it comes to money, you're typically not going to turn around, particularly in the middle of a pandemic where the one thing that you think you're struggling for is money, and give that back.
DH, do you think that moves forward? I want to see more offense. I don't want to see guys hitting 160.
Do you want to see more offense?
I do.
Then why don't we do something to get rid of strikeouts as opposed to put another hitter in the lineup?
All right, you know what? We can save that for the next time you're on. How about that?
Sounds like a plan. I'm not ready.
And you have more.
I'm not ready.
And you have more sleep.
That one at this point.
Yeah. You don't have enough sleep to have to go to that. You know, to go 12 rounds there. Let. You're going to kick my butt anyway. But at least I will put up a fight. And I don't want to do that while you haven't slept.
This is why I enjoy coming on with you, man. You're a gentleman and a good host.
You're
literally on the radio and figuratively in this. This lovely get together you have here.
All right, brother. Appreciate it. Get some sleep. Thanks again. Stay safe.
See you, dude.
See ya. There he is, Jeff Passan. All right. Coming up in 3 minutes, our all-time Dodgers draft. Me, Mason, Ireland. We pick our teams. We battle it out on MLB The Show. Speaking of which, call right now. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Caller 7 now wins a copy of MLB The Show. We have two more to give away, one right now and one sometime after 11:30. By the way, Peter King just got back to us. He's nice enough to come on at 11:40. So Mason and Ireland next, Peter King 11:40, Sedano back in 3 minutes. Sedano with you here at 710 ESPN. Thanks to Jeff Passan for joining us there. So here's the deal. Peter King, we're dopes. We had the wrong number. He's going to join us at 11:40. We're going to do our all-time Dodger draft here with Mason in Ireland. It's all presented by Progressive Insurance, offering coverage options as unique as your business. Progressive covers companies of many sizes and specialties. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. Laura, did we have a winner for MLB The Show? Did we get a winner there?
Yes, Miguel from Culver City has won his game.
All right, congratulations, Miguel.
Good job,
way
man.
To go, Miguel.
We will give another one, our last copy today, sometime between 11:30 and noon. That's how we're going to do it.
So I'm going to be listening between 11:30 and noon.
By
the way, Sedano, do you know what just, you're unaware of what just happened in your show in this hour, aren't you?
What's that?
You know how Mason is with holding grudges. You know, he hated you. He would not speak to you. George, this is how mad Mason was at you before the alliance. He got mad at me, left me a nasty message that I was being nice to you. That's how mad Mason was at you. So the second Jeff Passan appeared on your show, Mason sent out a hate tweet. He goes, this guy's on. He was on our show for about 30 seconds on Friday. Right. And he said, oh, guys, this is really important. I'll call you right back. That was 3:00 on Friday. He still hasn't called us back.
Right.
And so when Lindsay reached out to him and said, hey, you know, we got cut short with you the other day. How about this week? He goes, I'm absolutely slammed. No time at all until Thursday. And then he goes on your show. So Mason sent a text. Jeff Passan is now dead to him.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I've never had anybody say, I'll call you right back and after 2 minutes and then not call you right back.
And, George, you know the wrath of Mason's hate.
No,
Jeff
we're
Passan,
the Bob Nightingale Show. We are officially a Bob Jeff Nightingale
Passan
Show.
Just became public enemy number one on
Persona
the Mason
non
Ireland
grata.
Show.
Oh, that's hilarious. I mean, look, he and I are buddies, though. Like, we text off the air.
Doesn't
we
matter.
We smoked cigarettes with the guy outside Dodger Stadium.
Who did?
Me and Jeff Passan and Bergman.
You smoke cigarettes, Mason?
I do for fun.
Really?
For fun?
That is interesting.
It's never taken. I just did it because Bergman and Passan were
doing. First of all, this outs two people. Bergman swore to me that the only time he ever smokes is when he golfs.
Yeah.
Which I knew was a lie when he said it, and he wouldn't admit it. So now Bergman's a liar. Yeah. And now Mason smokes. Wow. Yeah. The things you learn in the Sedano show.
Why are you outing people for anything, period?
Mason. Because I'm close to Jeff Passan.
Hey, why is Mason, is anyone hearing Mason peeking?
Yeah, he does this every day. Mason, you got to turn down. You're overmodulated again.
Mic. That's all right. Fine.
That's what happens when he likes to hear himself too much.
I need to hear me.
Mason, why are you outing people? You're just that angry at
Passan? Why are you smoking?
No. I was just pointing out that Passan and I are friends because we smoke cigarettes together.
Are you friends, though?
Apparently
when you
you're
talk?
Not.
What's that?
Do you talk to him like regularly outside?
Yeah,
of the
for 30 seconds on Friday we talk.
I've never had a guest say after 2 minutes, "I'll call you right back," and then not call back, and then say
you're
I'm
being
not available for the entire next week, and then immediately call the Sedano show.
Yeah, he's so dead. It's like you, George. You don't even know. Well, you do know. You know how Mason is.
Oh, I know.
On anytime.
You know, so there's no chance of a Mason Passan alliance, is what you're saying right now.
I'll call him right back.
All right. Bergman, what are the rules here? Let's get to this.
We are going to have – everyone has 10 – it's a snake draft. There's 10 picks each, and you have to pick catcher, first base, second base, third base, shortstop to hold everything, one pitcher and one relief pitcher. You can pick a closer if you want, or you don't have to, but you probably should.
Okay, so I have a question. If a guy ever appeared in relief, does that make him a relief pitcher? Like, can you use Kershaw as a reliever?
No.
I think we should go by what Baseball Reference labels them as.
Okay.
Is that fair? Mason, yep. Are you overmodulated
still? That makes sense. I have no idea.
He's better now.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Although he is steaming hot at Passan. Yeah, he's no, Passan's
Passan.
Dead.
Passan is okay. Over. Done. I'm Passan. I'm Passan.
I feel sorry for Jeff Passan.
Yeah, all right, we've got 11 minutes here, so let's make this happen. All right, who's going first?
The order is the what we didn't do for the Laker dress. So I'll go first, Mason will go second, and George, you go third and get two picks, okay?
Okay.
So my first pick is starting pitcher Sandy Koufax.
Ooh.
That's a good pick. My first pick is catcher Mike Piazza.
Wait a second. I supposed to go second?
No, I'm going second.
No, Mason's going second.
Okay.
And George, you now get two.
All right. I'm going to go Clayton Kershaw.
Okay, that's one.
I'm going to go Sean.
Whoa, Mace, hold on. He gets two.
Yeah, I get two picks, Mace. Hold on.
Okay.
I'm going to go Ron Say.
What?
There's not a lot of third basemen.
Okay. I'm going to go Sean Green.
Really?
Yeah, 49 homers, 125 RBIs.
And now I get two?
Yeah.
This is unbelievable. I'm getting my first three picks. I'll take Cody Bellinger and Adrian Beltre.
Okay.
And Mace?
I am going to go Gary Sheffield and put him at third base.
Ah! Did he play third base for the Dodgers, though?
He did, yep.
He's listed primarily as an outfielder, but I think that you should be able to play him at third. He was an all-star third baseman for the Padres. So I think you should be able to play him at third. Okay, by the way, point of clarification. Can we take any outfielder to play any outfield position?
Yeah, we're not doing center, left,
okay,
right.
Okay, so just three. You can take any three outfielders.
Yes.
Okay.
Right, but John, are you taking Cody Bellinger as an outfielder or a first baseman?
That remains to be seen. He has that versatility. Right. We'll see how the board plays out. So, Mason, you took...
took Sheffield. It's Sedano for two.
Okay.
I'm going to go... I'm going to go Don Drysdale, another pitcher. And I'm going to go...
Wait a minute. So, who's your reliever?
Oh, no, wait. I only get one starter, right? Is that how it is? Oh,
yeah.
I thought we had two. Okay, my bad. So, then I will go... Kenley Jansen as my reliever, and I'm going to go – see, this one's tough because this guy may have had his best season as a Brooklyn Dodger, even though he played with the L.A. Dodgers.
So if that's the case, George, if you're on the bubble, you get his L.A. Dodger year. You don't get his Brooklyn Dodger year.
Right. I'm going to go – I'm going to still go with Duke Snyder because he still had some – the first 2 years of the with the L.A. Dodgers, he was still over a 300 hitter and hit 20-something home runs.
Okay. Greg, now I get two, right?
No, it's
Mason.
No, it's Mason's
then,
turn.
Mason, then I get two.
Yeah, right. I'm going to go right. Matt Kemp, outfield.
That's a good pick. Okay. I am going to go Willie Davis.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Mm.
And Pedro Guerrero.
Yeah, I love Pedro Guerrero.
I am going to go Sheffield, third base, shortstop. I'm going to go Jeff Kent, second base.
Boy. Okay. I'm going to go Manny Ramirez and Steve Garvey at first base.
Okay. Okay.
It's Mason.
Me. I am going to go Tommy Davis outfield.
I already.
Did you take Tommy Davis?
Yeah.
Okay. Took Willie Davis.
You took Willie.
Wait a minute. I think I meant to take Tommy. Hold on. Let me look at it.
You pulled a Mason.
You did.
Oh, Willie Davis. Wow.
There's one of these guys that no, I think I did take the right Davis. I'm looking for the guy who had an 8.3 WAR in 1964. So yeah, that's Willie Davis.
Okay, and I'm going to take Tommy Davis. Tommy Davis outfield.
All right.
So now I get two, right, Greg?
Yes.
Okay. I am going to take. Let me think. I'm going to take Kirk Gibson and move Bellinger to first. Okay, so my outfield is set. I have Gibson, Davis, and Guerrero in the outfield. And shortstop or second baseman. I am going to take Russell Martin at catcher.
Okay, Mason. Now,
I am going to take Eric Karras first base.
Okay, Bergman. What do I need? I need a catcher, right?
Yep.
Second baseman.
Yep.
Shortstop, right?
Yep. Because you have Say at third.
Okay, I'm going to take. And I need an outfielder too, right?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to take Raul Mondesi.
It's a good pick.
And I'm going to take I'm going to take Corey Seager at shortstop.
Mace.
I am going to take Maury Wills at shortstop.
Okay.
Got some speed.
104 stolen bases.
Okay.
And then I think I just need a catcher now, right, Greg? That's it?
You need a catcher and a second baseman.
Yeah, you should have three picks left.
Second baseman, right.
All
right,
so I let me look up one thing for June. Wait, I don't want to say what I'm looking up.
Baseball reference.
Yeah, everybody's on the same freaking page. Unbelievable.
Wings above replacement.
You need a shortstop, a second baseman, and a relief pitcher, Ireland.
Okay, so I know Sedano still needs a second baseman also, so I'm torn between Davey Lopes and Steve Sachs. Sachs's best WAR was a 4.8. Lopes was a 4.9. Because I live in Steve Sachs's old house, I'm taking Steve Sachs. At
wow, that's
base.
A humble brag. Good Lord. Yeah.
Oh, it's not. George, have you ever seen the Steve Sachs playing Three Stooges, playing baseball with the Three Stooges mural?
No, I have not.
When you see that, you will not think this is a humble brag. Wait till you see the mural that's painted on the wall of my house. It reeks 80s.
I love the way that Mason just was like, yeah. You know, like, it was a great drop in there.
Okay, ahead, so Vince. There's one reliever that's still on the board.
No, Ireland still has another pick.
Ireland has another pick. You're
Okay, got it.
Okay.
Shortstop or relief pitcher?
All right. I will take Eric Gagne.
Good one.
And then Mace, you get one pick.
Is Kenley off the board?
Yes, he is. Yeah.
Okay, you took Kenley. Okay, so I am, and let me just make clear, the two starting pitchers that are off the board are Don Drysdale and Sandy Koufax?
No, he didn't. Koufax and Kershaw.
Kershaw.
Koufax and Kershaw are gone.
Everybody okay. else is available to you.
I will take Don Drysdale as my starting pitcher.
Okay, and then I will take my last two picks, Davey Lopes and Mike Socha.
And my reliever is going to be Peak Jeff Shaw.
Ooh, that's a good one.
2.38 ERA.
Okay, my last pick has to be a shortstop, right, Greg?
Yep.
I'll take Hanley Ramirez.
That's a good
Ooh,
one.
Oh, that's a great nice. One.
That's a good pick.
And I think I'm done.
You are. That's all of them.
Yeah,
You're
I think
set.
That's everybody.
Look at that, boys. We did it.
Boy, yeah. Well, here's what's interesting. I based mine. I just went through and looked at the best win above replacement season they ever had. I've got, like, almost all of my first picks. Like, I didn't even have Karros or Duke Snider or Jeff Kent on my board.
Yeah, I had Karros for his 32-homer, 105 RBI season.
Which was what year?
I don't know the year. I just wrote down that he had a 298, 32, 105 year.
Yeah, what's interesting about that is I'm assuming that was 95, and he still only had a WAR of 3.9.
Did somebody take Steve Garvey?
Yeah,
I did.
George did.
Okay, got it. We couldn't leave him off. But there were some classic ones that didn't get picked. Like, did Lopes get picked?
Yes, yes he's I on Sedano's also.
Did Say get picked?
Yes, Say got picked early.
Too. Okay,
also Sedano.
Okay, got it. Okay, so we got all the classic guys in.
How are you guys going to hit my pitchers of Koufax and Gagne? Koufax is unhittable, and Gagne's roided up.
I went all offense, and the last two picks were pitchers for me.
Well, I think that was smart because once Sedano and I took starters, you knew we weren't taking another one.
Right.
So it would have been dumb for you to go early.
All right. So let Carlo Sisu work his magic and put this all together into a social media post. And then when are the games, actually?
The game is going to be on Thursday at 9 o'clock at night, and we'll go from 9 to 10. If we need another day, if it goes on longer, we'll do Friday from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. as well.
Okay, good. And now my weekend is planned. Thursday.
There you go. There you go. All right, Mace, do you want me to say anything to Passan for you? Do you want him to let him know there's a blood feud?
Yes, say this. He's dead to us.
Yeah,
okay.
He's dead to us.
I'll let him know.
Tell him we'll call him right back.
Okay, we'll do. All right, boys, have a great show.
All right, see you, man.
See you. Thanks for coming on. Mason in Ireland. Check him out at 3 o'clock right here each and every day on the station. All right, Peter King, we found him. We have the right number now. He's going to join us in 4.5 minutes. Sedano Show with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. If you missed any one of our interviews today, Jeff Passan, who joined us earlier, always fun to talk to him. Mason in Ireland for our all-time Dodgers draft that we did. We're going to plug those teams in. And we're going to play them on MLB The Show in a simulation, just like we did with the Lakers a month ago. So that'll be fun. Speaking of which, right now, caller 7 at 877-710-ESPN wins a copy of MLB The Show. Good luck to you guys out there. But if you missed any one of our interviews today, check out the entire interview on demand section of the Sedano Show podcast on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, wherever you find your podcast. Brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checking or savings account with no fees or minimums. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet? Approval required. Capital One and a member FDIC. Peter King joins us now, the preeminent voice covering the National Football League. Check out the Football Morning in America website and, of course, the podcast as well. Peter, thank you so much for taking the time. Apologies for our error earlier with having the wrong phone number. How are everyone in the King household? Everyone safe and healthy?
Everybody is doing well. We're here sort of in the belly of the beast in Brooklyn, but I don't know. We just stay inside mostly and try to find some ways to entertain ourselves, and things are going okay.
Good. Good to hear. Good to hear. Good. Hey, before we get into football, I know that you're a big baseball guy too. And we were just talking with Jeff Passan earlier about all the things that are going on with baseball. But one of the things that the audience seemed to get all riled up about was the potential of the DH in this pandemic season if baseball plays, and the DH would play in both leagues. And we started discussing, well, could they move forward with that just beyond this? I know you're a baseball guy. Like, how do you feel about the DH?
I don't have a problem with the DH, but my biggest issue with the DH is that, it takes a lot of strategy away from baseball. I prefer, even though I'm more of an American League fan, I prefer the National League brand of baseball because I love the, strategy aspects that the DH lends to the game. I think that sort of falls under the category of, so a week ago I wrote in my column in Football Morning in America, this is going to be an imperfect year. And everybody just has to if there's something about the game that they don't like, and who knows, in football it might be, okay, some team might only be able to play 5 home games this year because their municipality might say, no large gatherings, so no football games. I'm just making that up. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe everything will go wonderfully, and the 256 games will go off as scheduled, and the playoffs and the Super Bowl. But there's a good chance that there's going to be some big issues in trying to play these games the right, on time and on schedule. So I guess the thing I would say mostly is that, for 1 year, if you have to put up with the DH and you hate the DH, I mean, it's better than not having baseball. I don't even know why that would be the case.
Yeah.
But, whatever the reason, it doesn't strike me as something to get too fired up about personally.
Yeah, I'm with you wholeheartedly. Like, just give us sports if we can get it, and give us any slice of normalcy and any escape possible. Let's talk football here. Let's get into some of the possibilities with the NFL. I mean, we've heard for the most part, it seems to be status quo as far as the calendar is concerned, with some small alterations here or there. What do you expect football to look like, Peter, come September?
I expect it to look very normal, except, and again, it's early because, obviously there's 3 months to figure this out. And
sure.
As I wrote in my column this week, just think of 2 months ago, at least. So I got a text from a friend of mine, Jenny Verentis. My wife and I went to dinner with Jenny Verentis, who works for Sports Illustrated, 2 months ago today. And that was our last night. We live in Brooklyn. That was our last night out in New York, in Manhattan. And so, a lot has happened in 2 months. So the NFL probably has about 3 months to make the decision of whether to allow fans at games. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot that can happen. But my gut feeling is early on, probably, the NFL might play a week or two or a month or two without having fans at the games. And I think that'll be the biggest thing. I think the other thing that fans very well could notice when they watch the games on TV is that Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth might be in a booth in Los Angeles somewhere doing the games, or in New York, or wherever, because I think, at least at first, the NFL is most likely to allow only essential personnel to playing the game at the game. Mm-hmm. So I think there will be fewer cameras. I think, I think I'll probably be covering the NFL this year from my apartment in Brooklyn, New York. It's going to be a year unlike any other year, but I do think the NFL is going to play. I can't say that I think they're going to play every game every week, because you just never know. As Dr. Fauci told me over the weekend, and I wrote in my column on Monday, if you get 3 or 4 positive tests 1 week, at least his recommendation would be on one team. His recommendation would be to shut that team down and quarantine for 2 weeks. So this is going to be a very, very, this is going to be a very movable story, a very, a moving target of a story, I think, in the next 3 or 4 months.
Peter King, the preeminent voice covering the National Football League, NBC Sports. Check out the column, Football Morning in America, and, of course, his podcast as well. Peter, let's talk actual X's and O's, I guess, for lack of a better phrase. We just had Sean McVay on the show yesterday, as a matter of fact, and I asked him about Jared Goff, and I asked him about, you know, some of the regression last year and what he expects moving forward. And he talked about how, look, it's 10 other guys on the field. It's not just all on Jared, but we do expect him with experience to get better. What is the book right now in the league on Jared Goff?
That's a good question. I think he is one of those guys who we don't really have a firm answer about him right now. I do think that he is like a lot of other quarterbacks with good arms, and he's definitely got a good arm. He's a lot better throwing to really fast guys than if he's not, or if he's throwing mainly to possession receivers. So I think, obviously, when you have Sammy Watkins and Brandon Cooks flying down the field, you're going to have open receivers more often than not. And, you know, I remember looking back at Super Bowl year, and I remember second or third game of the season when they played the Vikings on a Thursday night. Anybody who watched that game would just say, man, give me Jared Goff. I want Jared Goff as my quarterback. So I have not in any way kind of given up on Goff or anything, but this is a big year for him. You know, he's going to prove that he can be as consistent as he was for the first 3+ months, in 2018, which obviously he was not last year.
Peter King joining us here. With the Raiders, Peter, last year they drafted some guys, and most people were like, whoa, we felt like they reached. There was a similar opinion this year, but I looked at it this way. You know, we thought they reached last year, and their player development might have been better than we anticipated. How do you feel about the job Gruden and Mayock have done there thus far?
I think the way I look at the way they have run their draft is that they have fallen in love, basically, with big school guys, you know, with guys who have played at the highest level of college football. You know, you look this year, and obviously they go early on, they go Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, or Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson. Last year, they started with Clemson, Alabama. Abram was Mississippi State. And then Trayvon Mullen, is he Clemson or Alabama? He's one of those. But anyway, their first 4 picks last year were all big school guys, too. So they like the SEC. Mayock really likes to see guys who have done it at the highest level of college football. Farrell was really disappointing last year. He's got to do better this year for the guy who was the 4th pick in the draft. And there's going to be an awful lot of pressure early on Henry Ruggs. And, to take Henry Ruggs over Judy, especially, I think is a sign that, and over Lamb, obviously, but is a sign that they really value speed. And he and Derek Carr, how are they going to replicate what you normally do in an off season in this weird off season? Is Ruggs going to get to throw and catch a lot with Derek Carr this off season? He better, because, you know, from the first game, you know, at Carolina, there's going to be a lot of pressure on that passing game, to score for them.
Peter, with the Chargers, I like Tyrod Taylor for them as kind of a stopgap potentially. We know that Anthony Lynn has history with him, even creating an offense around him in Buffalo. I like the pick of a quarterback there with Herbert. I know they wanted Tua, but Herbert, I think, is a nice kid that can project to be a good quarterback with some time. Where do you Where do you think the Chargers will end up this year in one of the tougher divisions in the sport?
Well, when I look at the two Western divisions in the NFL right now, and I'm thinking about them as, I guess what I would call, I really think the balance of power, I don't want to say has shifted entirely to west of the Mississippi, but really when you think about it, I could make a case for any one of the eight teams in the two Western divisions to be 500 or better this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I think, for instance, you would look at the NFC West and say, man, the Cardinals and Rams are, you know, behind the 49ers and Seahawks. I don't know if that's the case. I really don't. And I think in the AFC West, you know, the Chargers obviously were kind of a snake bit team last year. They lost a lot of close games. Phillip Rivers threw a lot of late interceptions. I think that's going to be the big issue with the Chargers. To me, as the quarterback position goes, so go the Chargers. If you look at their defense right now, especially Derwin James, theoretically for 16 weeks this year, they have got a competitive top 10 type NFL defense. It's going to be all up to the passing game, whether Herbert ends up beating out Tyrod Taylor at some point. My gut feeling is it'll probably be a redshirt year for Justin Herbert, but that'll mean that Tyrod Taylor is going to have to play well. And obviously we haven't seen a lot of Tyrod Taylor playing at a high level in the NFL. So this is his chance. He can beat back Justin Herbert for a long time and maybe for the entire year. So, but it's going to be on his shoulders. If he plays inconsistently, I'm sure Anthony Lynn is not going to hesitate to go to Herbert.
Peter, I have 30 seconds here, and I apologize for doing this to you, but we have a hard out.
Yeah.
What is your best guess on Cam Newton's future?
My best guess is that he won't sign with anybody now. I wouldn't sign with anybody if I were him, although if I were an NFL team and questioned where my backup quarterback was coming from and questioned his skills, I would go heavy after Cam Newton because, you know, look, this is going to be a weird year around the NFL. You never can tell how many games you're going to play, what's going to happen. So I would try to sign Newton. However, if I were Cam Newton, I'd wait till a quarterback gets hurt before I would sign with anybody.
Peter King, the preeminent voice covering the NFL, Football Morning in America. Check out the column each and every week and the podcast. Peter, a pleasure. Stay safe and healthy. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Take care.